I speak to you in the name of Jesus the Beloved. Amen. This day is a special day in my memory. The feast for the baptism of Jesus is a special day in my memory. When I served St. Michael's Parish in Litchfield, Connecticut, we became friends with St. Luke's Church in Bridgeport, Connecticut. St. Luke's was a Hispanic congregation, home to people from Puerto Rico, Cuba, El Salvador, Dominican Republic, and other assorted places in Latin America. The rector of St. Luke's and I came to Connecticut at the same time and serendipitously became good friends. As we became friends, our congregations became friends. Over the 10 years I served at St. Michael's, we developed a close companion relationship with St. Luke's, and the heart of our life together was always the Sunday after the Epiphany. You see, the people of St. Luke's celebrated El Día de los Tres Reyes, Three Kings Day, on that Sunday, and one year they invited us to help them celebrate. So my wife, my son John, and two other members of St. Michael's and I drove 40 miles to the tough, poverty-scarred east end of Bridgeport to bask in the warm sunshine of lively music, Latin rhythms, costume kings in procession, and an endless procession of gifts brought for the children of the parish and the neighborhood. I still remember the warmth and hospitality of that day. John was studying Spanish, so he practiced a little bit. The coffee, plantains, cristianos y moros, black beans and rice, all carried me back to my childhood in Miami. And I trusted myself to preach to the people in Spanish. Every year after that, until I left Connecticut, we went to Bridgeport in January for Three Kings Day. One year our choir went and sang Anglican motets by Palestrina and Bird and Gibbons and all kinds of the things that you and I are accustomed to, for proudly appreciative Puerto Rican musicians who wanted to know more about the rest of the Anglican communion. One year we took a jail inmate whom we were allowed to bring to church on weekend furloughs, and the people of St. Luke's asked him to be a king. Eventually, the St. Luke's congregation came to Litchfield to worship with us, with shakers and drums and electric keyboards and guitars and all that wonderful energy. We held summer day camps together. We worked together on mission projects. And we built bonds of love and hope between the two ends of Connecticut. But on that first Three Kings Day, I was startled when Father Ramos suddenly asked me out of the blue to baptize a small boy. My sermon I had practiced in Spanish, but I wasn't so sure about the baptismal liturgy. I didn't want to appear unprepared or to dishonor the people of St. Luke's. However, Wilfrido would not take no for an answer. So I greeted Andres, asked him to make his baptismal promises, and poured the water over his head. Over the years, I learned a great deal from the people of St. Luke's Church in Bridgeport. I discovered their resilience and their generosity in the face of urban blight and constant violence. I discovered that my own adoration and praise sounded beautiful in Spanish and still felt Anglican. I discovered the complexity of this Puerto Rican congregation that sat in an African-American neighborhood. And I learned to enjoy being a guest in the house of the Lord. But mostly, I discovered the great beauty and power of God's church when it includes all colors and classes, and when all persons are treasured not for their lineage or their credentials, but for their being beloved by God. One day I asked my friend Father Ramos, who came to St. Luke's to worship? You know, most of the Latin American world is Roman Catholic or Pentecostal or Evangelical Christian. And I wondered who would find their way to an Episcopal church. So Wilfrido said some people came to St. Luke's because their families had been Episcopalians in Puerto Rico, El Salvador, or Cuba, or Dominican Republic, or other places. Others started worshiping at St. Luke's when they climbed the social ladder and wanted to belong to a more respectable church. Or in their work lives, they became professional people, managers, lawyers, teachers, and they wanted to be part of the governance of the church. But others, he said, were people living in common law marriages or in no marriage, who wanted their children to be baptized. Many of them found other churches refused to baptize children born out of wedlock. So they came to St. Luke's, and they received hospitality and hope within those inviting red brick walls of that church and among that community of gospel faith. That was one of the great aha moments of my life. I, who traced direct ancestry to two persons among the company that landed on the Mayflower, I would try never again to measure people by their ancestry, or by their accomplishments, or by their class, or by the lives of their parents. I think that's the reason Jesus chose to be baptized, to stand alone before God and before John, to allow himself to be separated from all of the claims to fame, to let the waters roll over him, and to become like the most unlikely of us. This morning, we're going to baptize Etta Marie Daly, Zakai Antonio Kelly, and Anastasia Yvonne Wilson, three beautiful children. God doesn't care about their ancestry or their accomplishments, their status, their parents, or anything else. God calls them beloved, and so do we. In the font of this church, we have baptized children born out of marriage. We have baptized children born to gay parents. We have baptized older people. We have baptized a host of others, children of promise and hope, beloved of God. I hope we never forget the lesson I learned on my first visit to St. Luke's Church in Bridgeport. There is a place at the font for all persons, all whom God chooses to call beloved. Amen. Amen.